Welcome to Parshas HaShavua. This week's Parsha is Parsha Shoftim. And continuing on with the theme that when we read Parshas in a particular time of the year, it is always connected to that time of the year. I would like to sort of share with you a couple of ideas from the Parsha. And some of them, the Mefarshim point out clearly, are connected to the time of year we're in, which of course is Chodesh Elul, the month of preparation, the month where Hashem is close to us, the King is in the field. And we need to really experience a spiritual upgrade. So I'm just going to focus on three things, two briefly and then one sort of more longer idea. Firstly, something that all the Mefarshim say, and that is the very beginning of the Parsha. The very beginning of the Parsha tells us, Shoftim v'shoitrim titein l'cho b'chol she'orecha, that when you go into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem says you shall place judges and policemen, officers, at all of your gates, which Hashem will give you, etc. So of course, on a simple level, this is a commandment to prepare the Jewish people for going into Eretz Yisrael. When they inhabit the land, they have to set up a good system, and therefore they have to have a base in all cities, and then have officers to enforce the law, and so on and so forth, wherever the various tribes will live. However, of course, the Torah is eternal, and the lessons of the Torah are completely applicable and relevant in each time, and therefore Mefarshim explain, and they're connected to the month of Elul, where we have to reflect on this concept that a human being is a city. A human being is like a country, a personal country. And we have She'orecha, we have the gates of our city. And various Mefarshim explain it in different ways, the Shach ala Torah, or the Shalom, the Sefer Yetzirah, and so on. They explain that we have the gates. For example, we have the two ears, the mouth, the two eyes, the nostrils. Or some explain the gates, not so much the nostrils, but more the hands, the feet. All different ways of explaining these gates. Essentially what it means is we have the parts of our experience, the parts of our body, which connect us to the world around us. These are the mechanisms through which we give and receive. Right? So we hear things. We speak, we take in, we speak out, we look at stuff, we absorb things, all that kind of thing. And therefore the Torah says, and the Mefarshim say, with emphasis during the month of Elul, the real tshuva is to reflect on how well we are protecting those gates of our body. We need to have at each of our bodily gates, both judges and officers. What that means really is, judges is learning, education, understanding, knowledge, understanding what is permitted, what is not, understanding the values of only looking at good things and the detriment when we look at bad things, the knowledge to hear good things and not bad things, to take into our mouth things which are good, not to speak things which aren't good, and so on and so forth. We able to strengthen these gates by learning about what are the correct and incorrect things to do, to let in, to give out, and so on. And then, of course, we need church, we need officers. Officers more enforce the law, which refers to the idea of Kabbalah soil, just surrender and obedience, commitment. That even when we don't really understand, or we're not in the mood, or we're not really spiritually uplifted, but we still protect ourselves to make sure that the gates do not let in and out things which are inappropriate. And, of course, the time to reflect upon that, the time to really delve into that on a personal level is, of course, the month of Elul, as the Mefarshim point out. Another idea is coming from this week's parasha is also we have the mitzvah of a king. So there's a famous kliyoka. The kliyoka says, and I want to just extrapolate from it a little bit. The Torah says when you're going to come to the land of Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to say soim, and it'll be the mitzvah of appointing a king. Soim tosim olecha melech, you shall put a place a king upon you. And so on. So the Kli Yoker asks the question that many Mefarshim ask, but the Kli Yoker gives a very sort of unique answer. And he says the following. We all know the story in Shmuel, where the Yidden came to Shmuel HaNovi and said, T'nolonu Melech, give us a king. And Shmuel HaNovi, because until that time they were just guided and run by spiritual guys known as the Shoftim, the judges. There wasn't a formal king. And they said, T'nolonu melech, give us a king. We want to be like everyone else. Give us a king like all other nations. And Hashem was upset with them. Hashem was not pleased. And he thought that request for a king was inappropriate. And yet, Hashem went along with it. And he said, if that's what the people want, He gave Shmuel the guidance of how to appoint a king. Shaul HaMelech, King Saul, of course, was the first king. And then after that, there was a king for a very short time. And then there was David HaMelech became the King David, the began the dynasty of the Malchus based David. And Mashiach, of course, will come from David HaMelech. Says the Kli Yakar, like all the other Mefarshim, why was Hashem so displeased? Surely, in this parsha, we have it's a mitzvah. Parsha Shoftim, one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, is Minui Melech, to appoint a king. In fact, we are taught that the Beis HaMikdash cannot be built until there's the appointment of a king and the war against Amalek. And that's why we see that David HaMelech did not lay the plans for the Beis HaMikdash until he was appointed king. And until only after Shaul HaMelech had waged a war, essentially, he left a little bit out, but essentially destroying the nation of Amalek at the time. And therefore they were ready to build the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the difference? Why in Shoftim, why in the story that went to Shmuel Anovi, it was considered a very bad thing, and yet, over here it's a mitzvah. And he says the most beautiful thing. He says, if you look at the wording, he says, in the story of Shmuel Hanavi, they said, Tzno lonu melech, give us a king. If you look at the wording in this week's parsha, Tzoyim tosim olecha melech, place a king upon you. And he says, the difference is the following. Very often people appoint leaders. They appoint leaders of communities, rabbis of shuls, whatever the leadership is, but they appoint it that they should fit into their agenda. Tenol lonu melech, they should work for us. They'll be our employee. We will tell them what to do. We will set the agenda and they will just fit in and be the symbolic symbol of leadership just to make sure that we're a functional society, but really they're subservient to us and we not to them. Tenol lonu melech, said the Jews in Shoftim. Give us a king. We want to set the agenda. We want to control. We don't want to be subservient to a higher authority. This week's parasha is very different. This week's parasha says, Soim tosim olecha melech, place a king upon you. Pick a worthy person, pick a tzaddik, pick someone who's going to have the fear of Hashem upon him. He's subservient to Hashem, but he will guide you and spiritually guide you. But you have to be able to listen. You have to be able to have that surrender, that concept of giving ourselves over to someone that's higher than us, a higher authority. And that's Soim tosim olecha melech. I think when it comes to Elul, this is what we really need to reflect. It's not just about doing tshuva for things we've done wrong. It's about how do we relate to the King of Kings? How do we relate to the ultimate King, Hashem? Do we try and fit Yiddishkeit into us? In other words, do we try fit Yiddishkeit? Of course, we keep Yiddishkeit to our mitzvahs, but are we the center? Are we front and center? And do we try and fit Yiddishkeit into our own agenda? Do we try to look for every convenience possible and sort of squeeze every loophole possible so that we shouldn't be inconvenienced by Torah and mitzvahs? Or is it the other way around? Is Hashem a king upon us, on top of us, that we make him the center of our lives, we make him the center of our experience, and we fit into him and not him into us? Soim tosim olecha melech. And that's perhaps also part of the cheshbon that we make during the month of Elul. Now I want to go to something else that the Torah talks about in this week's parasha. We have an interesting pasuk, a rather famous pasuk, which needs to be understood properly. And it really comes in the context of going to a city to fight wars against the city. And the Torah says, do not cut down, you can fight a war, but do not cut down the fruit trees. Where if you find fruit trees there, don't cut them down, don't destroy them. Ki ha'odom eitz ha'sodeh. The simple pshat of the pasuk is asking a question. For is the person a tree? In other words, the tree is not your enemy. The people are your enemy, so take care of them how you have to take care of them. If you need to kill them or kidnap them or whatever you need to do, do it. But don't cut down the fruit tree. And yet in the next pasuk, the pasuk seems to suggest that something that is not a fruit tree and it's more convenient to get rid of it, it's a tree that does not bear fruit, it's okay to cut it down and to destroy it. Now, although in the pasuk, the phrase ki ha'odom eitz ha'sodeh is kind of asked as a question to say like the person is not a tree, nevertheless, there's a pshat in the pasuk that the pasuk is actually saying ki ha'odom eitz ha'sodeh in the sort of affirmative. In other words, the person is like a tree, and that's the way really it's understood by all the mafarshim, and it's often used so often, and so many shiurim, so many drashas, so many sources tell us ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh, the person is like a tree. So let's have a look at a Gemara in Tainis. Gemara in Tainis is Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says the following. It's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Rabbi Zeira, could the master, in other words, could you please come and teach me something? Give me a shir in some deep halachic discourse. So Rabbi Zeira answered, Rabbi Zeira says, I'm sorry, cholash li boy, I actually feel faint, and I'm unable to teach right now. So he said, you know what, okay, Leima mar milse de garatis. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, just tell us something, sort of an agadaic thought, something inspirational, something that's not doesn't require such a deep concentration in deep halachic analysis. So he answered the followers and he shared the following idea and he said, Hochi Omar Rabbi Yochanan, this is what Rabbi Yochanan says. What does it mean when the Pasuk says, Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh? Is a man a tree in the field? Right? And is a man really a tree? So says Rabbi Yochanan, yes, a man is a tree. But what the Torah is saying is the following. The Gemara says, the Torah says, don't cut down the fruit tree because, don't reject the fruit tree, in other words, because you're going to eat from it. But the next Pasuk says, there's a tree that you could cut down. What does this mean? So says Rabbi Yochanan, it's talking about a Torah teacher, a person who could teach Torah, a Talmud Chacham. Says the Gemara, Talmud Chacham Hogmanu, if the Talmud Chacham is an appropriate person, is an upright person, he is of proper character, then you can eat from him and don't cut him down, which means don't reject him. But if not, if you have a Talmud Chacham who's a Torah scholar, but he's not a person of proper character, you can cut him down, which means you can reject him and do not learn Torah from him. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe, in a beautiful talk on this topic, I'm extracting a piece from this talk, he said the following. He said, what does the Gemara mean? What does the Gemara repeat the question? Is a person really a tree? What is actually the Gemara asking? I mean, what's wrong in comparing a person to a tree? We know we grow like a tree grows and so many different comparisons. What was the Gemara bothered by the fact that the Pasuk should compare a person to a tree? What's the connection? And explains the following. We know that the world has two parts to it. The world has four components to creation. We have doimem, tsomeach, chai, medaber, the inanimate objects, the things that grow, chai, the animals, and medaber, and the human being. And in Sifrei Kabbalah, in the works of Kabbalah, it says that just like we have these four components within the person, so too, a person is called an oilam katan, a person is called a miniature world, a microcosm of the macrocosm. And therefore, the person also incorporates four concepts. And those four concepts essentially, without going into detail, because it's not the topic of the shir, the doimim, the inanimate, are just words. When we say words, words in them on themselves without content is really nothing. So the words that we say are like the doimim, the inanimate. Tzomeach, things that grow like the trees, refer to our midos, to our character, to our emotional reactions, because they fluctuate and they grow and they don't stay the same. And hopefully as we grow up, they become more mature and we mature and we work on our character and so on and so forth. The chai, the animals, actually refers to the seichel, the cognition, the power of thought, the power to think, the power to process intellect, which exists within the human being. And then medaber, the essence of the being, is the part of the human being, which is not for now to go into in detail, that is, transcends even the concept of cognition. Is really the essence of the human being, the power, the source of speech, the source to connect to others, and so on and so forth, which is for another time. Now we know that if you were to compare a person to other things in the world, how do we normally understand the greatness of the human being? The greatness of the human being is the power to think, the power to make decisions. We know that we always talk about animals can't make decisions. Plants can't make decisions. Angels can't even make decisions. What makes a human being unique is the power to think, the power to learn, the power to understand. This is the depth of the question of the Gemara. Quran is not saying, like, how can we ever find a comparison between a human being and a tree? Of course, we can find lots of comparisons. But the Gemara is saying that when the Pasuk says, Ki Adam Eitzah Sada, that the man is the tree in the field, the Ki Adam Eitzah Sada, is the man all about the midos? Is what sets apart a man from other creations emotions, feelings? Is that what sets the, is that the essence of the human being? Is that what makes a person a human being a human being? We always thought what makes a person a human being is the power to think, the power to process information, the power of moral clarity. That's what makes a human being. Says the Gemara, yes, you're right, but still, it has to be a tree. And only has to be a tree which really represents not the power of cognition, but power of feelings and emotions. It has to be a tree that is fruit-bearing. And therefore the Gemara continues to quote the Pasuk in the Parsha, that if it's a tree which bears fruit, you cannot reject it. If it's a tree that doesn't bear fruit, you can reject it. And therefore the Gemara says the same thing with the person. If the person bears fruit, then it's a healthy tree. Don't reject it. Learn from that person. If not, reject him. What does that mean? The Gemara is saying, yes, of course, a person, the power of a person, the power to make decisions, the power of moral clarity, the basis of our being a human being and experiencing decision-making and value living based on being human is all from it, is all from the power to think and to understand. But understanding alone is not enough. The understanding is only worth it when it affects our character and it bears fruit. Healthy fruit, fruit that can be eaten, fruit that can be enjoyed, fruit that are beneficial to others around him. The sign of a healthy human being, the sign of a human being that you can learn from, the sign of the human being that you should connect to, is that human being that is a Talmud Chacham, he really has amazing intellect, but the intellect translates into a healthy tree that gives fruit, that bears fruit, that is a healthy emotion, a healthy character. Because just understanding things but not changing, not improving, not making a good character, not refining our character, leaves the cognition as just a useless part of being human. The point of learning, the point to understand, the point of moral clarity that comes from the power of cognition is to change our emotions, to change our emotional responses, to change our personality, to change how we relate to other people, how we relate to Hashem, how we implement it. That's the ikra, that's the main sign of a good human being. Of course, it's only made possible through what's really sets the human being apart, which is to understand. But it's really the main thing is that understanding should be implemented and become part of our character. And I think that's such an important message as we go through Elul. We understand about Elul, we learn about Elul, but Elul is a time to make a shift. Elul is a time to show that we can affect who we are, we can affect our personality. And of course, we do our best, and Hashem, of course, does the rest, and he benches us only with a good year ahead, begashmis, uberuchnis, and only good things. Have a wonderful day and a good Shabbos.